Would you stand for the reading of God's word? 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Be seated. We're excited. The Grit series that we've been in has been powerful, and Buddy asked me to conclude this series today. He and Stephanie and family are on vacation for some much-needed rest, and excited for them to have that time. But when Buddy asked me to help with this, kind of tying up and putting a bow on this series, it made me think about, just by show of hands, how many of you have ever tied, like actually tied a bow tie or like a bow that needed to look good? Just by show of hands, how many of you? I've watched videos on tying a bow tie that just every bow tie should be a clip on. I don't know why it's not. Like, why would it not just clip? But if you enjoy tying bow ties, that I don't understand that at all. And tying, I don't have daughters young enough now that they need me to like tie a bow on a dress. And any time that I ever did that, it was only out of necessity because my wife, Liam, wasn't available. But that's hard. Tying a bow and trying to put a bow on something is challenging. Trying to put a bow on this series, a series about grit and like all of this. And boy, if we could just come in here to the last installment of this series and have like a really pretty, nice, like just dainty, just warm feeling bow on it, that would be great. That is not what is going to happen today. Not even close. We're going to talk about the messiest and the worst and the best there is. People. Think about that. We're going to tie a bow on this series talking about relationships. Relationships are messy, and they're not nice and neat. And trying to summarize this series and close it out nice and neat is not what we're going to do today. Grit is best sustained through relationships. Now, Buddy asked me to speak on this, and I'm thankful for that, for the opportunity, but he didn't ask me because I'm an expert on relationships. 22 years ago, I graduated with a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling from the University of Alabama, and I was ready to help people. And I thought because I studied and learned and got a degree, I was ready to help people. And then I started working with people. And it was hard. It was hard because I'm a person. And like, I was so excited. Like, I'm ready to help people. And I found out I didn't know a lot. I learned a couple of things. I didn't know much. And people, me included, we're messy. We don't have everything, you know, figured out. And Nathan mentioned that. We're a family of believers here at Landmark. We don't have everything figured out. But I do believe that grit is best sustained through relationships, and I believe we can learn this from Paul. And as I mentioned, Buddy didn't ask me to speak on this because I'm an expert on relationships, but I will say, and don't get too excited, it's not a big deal, I am an expert in one thing. I'm an expert in my story. I'm an expert. No human has been more present in my story than me. So I know all of my really, Buddy said stupid a few weeks ago, and it was the translation of the scripture. I know all of my stupid. I'm not really supposed to say that, kids, but like, I know all of my mistakes. I know some of the things that I've gotten right, but I'm an expert. You're an expert in your story. And we have an enemy who wants to take your story, and he wants to suppress you in such a way where you believe, you, me, we buy into this lie that we're the worst. Well, I've got news for you. I am the worst. You are the worst. But we're more than just the worst. If we can go to that next screen. Grit is best sustained through relationships, relationships with God. And people, please circle that if you're filling out your lifeline. This "and" is huge. We're going to talk a lot about this today. It's not just a relationship with God. Is God enough, the great I am? Of course. He is exactly who he is, and he's unwavering. And we waver a lot as humans. He never changes. Yet he wrote this prescription for us to be in his story, to have not only access to him as our creator, the great I am, our father, but he's placed his spirit in us to live, our breath, for us to breathe and be guided through the Holy Spirit. And he gave us each other. We cause each other headaches and we don't get everything right, but God gave us each other. So this next slide, when I said you're the worst and I'm the worst, we're also the best. God named and numbered every star. You know, Adam named the living, breathing, you know, beasts, animal, cattle, all these things. And then God's like, I got this. This is kind of more me than you, Adam. Named and numbered every star. And then he wrote you into his story. Just let that sit on you for a second. Every beautiful constellation. And he said, but I'll write Dan into my story. I'll write Jerry, Sam, Karshala, Brian, and anybody else that's out there that I can't see because of the bright lights up here. But he wrote all of us into his story. It was his idea. Don't get like too big for your britches, that's a good Southern term, and think that you're the main character, because you're not. But don't get so small and defeated as if you don't matter because God says you do. He wrote you into his story. It's crazy when I think about that, because I know all of my stupid. I know all of my mistakes, shortcomings. And yet, he has written me into this story. He wrote us into this story. We are the best and worst. What do you see when you look at that? Do you focus in on the worst? It's smaller. It's in the middle. It kind of makes best look a little ugly, not as good. Do you focus in on that, or do you recognize that we as humans, we are the best and the worst? But acknowledge for a moment with me that while we're an expert on one thing, our story, so we know our mistakes, and we have an enemy who wants to key in on the things that we would change in a heartbeat, or what we hope and long for, and what we fear, and he keys in on that because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Are we buying into that lie? Or are we connecting with, yeah, people let us down, just by a show of hands. Ever been disappointed by anybody? Ever disappointed someone? Have you ever, yeah. And those who didn't raise hands, you're a liar, so. We disappoint, but we get things right. You do not get everything wrong. And you do not get everything right. Because you are a human, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, went to the cross because he knew you would not get everything right. You don't get everything wrong either. Hear that this morning. Listen to those words. You are a gift to this story. You are a gift to me. I am a gift to you. It doesn't feel like that all the time. It feels like a gift we want to send back. Like, tired of this gift. Because we let each other down. We're the best and we're the worst. Here's what C.S. Lewis, let's listen to the words. He's authored a few things. His penmanship is pretty good. This is what he says about love. To love at all is to be vulnerable. That's true. To love at all. If you're gonna open yourself up, you do not control how it's gonna go. You can try, and that's gonna be pretty miserable for you and whoever else. C.S. Lewis says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. He also says, love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, okay? If you want to try to control your heart and keep it, preserve it, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Lock it up, safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But know this, in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Try to protect that heart. Close yourself off from all of God's creation and all of his story. Try to protect your heart at all costs. And it'll change. It may not be broken, but the type of misery that comes with isolation. Isolation is a tool of darkness that the enemy knows full well. And if he can cause you or me, when we're hurting, to retreat from others or to charge ahead so much when we're hurting that we cause so much hurt in others, there's a lot of isolation in that. C.S. Lewis goes on, and I don't have it as part of this quote, but he goes on in this thought to say, there's only one way to not feel a compulsion to love and be loved. There's only one place that exists, hell, damnation. There's heaven, and there's this story that we are have a secure hope and promise through Jesus Christ that we will go home forever and ever in heaven. And the place where love doesn't exist, if you want to try to avoid love, that's hell, C.S. Lewis says. And there's so much truth in that. So how are we going to fight today? How are we going to acknowledge, hey, we're the worst. People, humans, sons and daughters of the one true King, we're the worst and we're the best. You don't get everything wrong and you don't get everything right. And C.S. Lewis says, if you want to try to control your heart, lock it away in a casket or coffin of your selfishness, your own selfishness, just trying to preserve and trying to avoid heartache. It won't be broken. It'll be unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. My challenge for me and for us today is to never give up. Jimmy Valvano has an incredibly famous speech. ESPN, during their cancer awareness and fundraising, they show it over and over, and it is powerful. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. We're going to talk today about not giving up, and we've got a few spaces. The first is on others. And we're going to see where Paul demonstrates this for us. He gives us this lesson about not giving up on others. And let me just challenge you with this. Don't give up on everyone because of someone. We'll say it again. Don't give up on everyone because of someone. Don't allow, and I'm fully acknowledging there's deep hurt in this room. But God intends, he promises more than your hurt. I'm not saying your hurt doesn't matter. But I'm saying you, as a gift of God to this story of creation, you are more than your hurt, whether you realize it right now or not. Don't give up on everyone because of someone, and certainly don't give up on others. If you know the feeling of being left, if you know the feeling of being let go, terminated from work, someone's left you high and dry, you've been disappointed, you've been hurt, there's a temptation to give up on everyone. Well, Paul knew this disappointment. Let's go to our text, 2 Timothy 4, back in verse 9. This first challenge, this charge, do your best. to come to me quickly. For one thing, this is also in 2 Timothy 2:15 when Paul encourages Timothy, do your best, but in that he's talking about in your relationship with God, in your walk with God. Do your best in how you present the word of God and how you live it out. Here he's saying, do your best to come to me quickly. Now it was a long journey and there were multiple paths that could be taken. None of them were easy and none of them were quick. But I do believe Paul was saying to Timothy, move quickly. I need you to come quickly. And then he says, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. You think Paul knew disappointment in this story, in this journey? We'll talk a little bit more about maybe the inner workings of Paul having to fight away. Think about what his life was like before coming in contact with Jesus, truly coming in contact with Jesus. I think he knew about others disappointing him. I think he knew about disappointing God and about disappointing others. He didn't give up. He asked for help. He says, Demas deserted, went to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Okay, this is a big deal. Bring Mark. Get Mark and make sure he comes with you. So John Mark in Acts 13, he quit. We don't know that he did not quit living for the Lord and walking with God and struggling and wrestling, but he quit on Paul. And in this passage, what we see is that Paul says, I've still got Luke, but Timothy, get Mark and bring him. And here's why. He is helpful to me in my ministry. Now, he didn't always believe, maybe he knew that he was helpful, but he didn't believe that he would be helpful to him. As a matter of fact, Paul and Barnabas parted ways, split ways because of this. But he says, bring Mark. This is significant about being disappointed and yet continuing to not give up on others and love well. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus, and when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchment. So he asked for his outer garment that was kind of like a poncho, but heavy, the Roman prison being cold and damp, and wintertime coming, and we see that. He asked to come before winter gets here. But he asked for his scrolls, especially the parchments, parchments using skin, like animal skin, and having longevity, lasting longer than just papyrus or just paper scrolls. So listen to this. What Paul gives us in this snippet, just reading through this, is that disappointment is inevitable. Disappointment, just know that you already know that. Disappointment is inevitable in this life. But total disconnect and isolation, giving up on others, that's where the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to give up on others because we've been disappointed. Now he says, bring the cloak that I forgot and bring the scrolls and the parchments. November of 2018 was when my family and I moved here for me to start at Landmark as the Connections Minister. And pretty soon after that, Buddy asked me if I had ever been to Pepperdine University for the Harbor Bible Lectures. And I've gone several times since then, but this was my first opportunity to go. And I found out that Buddy knows a thing or two about having friends who will bring the stuff to you that you forgot. I think I found his glasses 4 or 5 times on that trip. I think I found his notes for the class he was teaching, his wallet, his keys, and everything else. It is a miracle that we survived that trip and made it back. Now, to be fair, forgiveness is a choice was happening that Monday. After. It was not good timing. And I'm sure here in the office and around here, there could have been a feeling like us going off to beautiful Malibu, California was not the best thing to do. But we had a great trip. Our minds were quite distracted because we were hosting an event for not just our city, but to represent racial healing and reconciliation and the forgiveness that comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I think about that trip, I think about, well, yeah, we were friends that helped each other keep up our stuff. I was distracted as well. But also, we need friends who will bring our stuff. And sometimes that doesn't just mean bringing a cloak, bringing a coat or a garment that we forgot somewhere or left, or bringing our notes or bringing scripture to us. Maybe it's through a text message. Maybe it's just saying, I need help. I don't even know how to say this, but I need help. I need to know that I'm loved. How brave and courageous is that? That sounds terrifying to nearly, if not all of you, to just in a time, a darkest hour, to just say, I need help and I can't even explain to you the type of help I need. I just know I don't want to be alone and I need help and support. I need prayer. I need something. That courage is the heartbeat of a real relationship. You have to be courageous. You have to be vulnerable to step out in that way. Paul didn't give up on others. He gave others a chance to be there for him despite disappointment and despite failure in relationships. Okay, don't give up on others, as we said, but don't give up on yourself. I said earlier, hey, you're the best and you're the worst. You already know that. You know you have giftings. But likely the way you talk to yourself about the mistakes that you've made and the struggles you have, likely the way you talk to yourself is listening a little bit too much to the enemy and not nearly enough to the giver of light and hope and the lifter of your head. I'm going to say that again. The way that you talk to yourself is likely listening too much to the voice of the enemy and not the giver of light and hope and the lifter of your head. So if you are not asking for help from others to guide you and help you in that, don't give up on others, but don't give up on yourself to use wisdom and discernment about who is a help to you and who is a hurt to you. This will sound like I'm contradicting don't give up on others when I say that everyone is not your person for your darkest hour. Use some wisdom and some discernment and ask God in the Spirit to help you make these choices and these decisions. Not everyone. Paul readily acknowledged Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. He didn't just say he didn't care for him or he's a guy that caused some harm. He did a great deal of harm. The Lord will handle it. He will repay him for what he's done. But he gives a warning. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message in 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. He acknowledges that Spirit-empowered discernment can cause us and bring us to a place that not everybody is safe for you. Don't give up on yourself and believe that God is guiding and directing you and using wisdom in that. Not everyone has good intentions. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of darkness in this life. And not everyone is walking with the Lord yet. Not everyone has hit their knees and with their tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our hope and our prayer as a Landmark family is that every son or daughter of the one true King does. We know there will come a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But that is not in this moment right now. So there are those who intend harm for you. Don't give up on yourself to use the wisdom and discernment that the Holy Spirit gives you to know who is for you and who is safe for you. Don't give up on God. This is a big one. The enemy would have us believe that because pain exists in this life, God doesn't care about us, his children. That's not what I see Paul demonstrate through this passage, this part of 2 Timothy. I believe that the grit that is sustained through relationships, what Paul is sharing is that he's asking for help. In a darkest hour, he's saying, come, I need help. I've been deserted. I've been hurt. I need to be built up and encouraged. But listen to what he says about when people weren't there, but God was. 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 22. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Was the lion's mouth enemy, Satan, Roman government at times? We know he's imprisoned here and it's not looking good and he's towards the end of his ministry and he will be killed later in the future after this letter. But he's writing this now saying he's been delivered. And listen to the hope that he holds on to. And he's asking for help in this and he's still giving wisdom and instruction to others. The Lord will rescue me. He's saying the Lord is a continual rescuer. He's not just in like the one-off, like one rescue, and then you've used that up, the get out of jail free. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. He's in prison when he's writing this. Does that sound like a gospel that says if you follow Jesus, you're going to get everything you want and everything will go the way that you want to? He's writing this from prison and saying, God's going to take care of me. He always has and he always will. But Paul acknowledges life is hard. To him be glory forever and ever, amen. And then listen to the description. So in this passage, we know Alexander was, he called out for who Alexander was. At that time, likely, the metal worker Alexander was gave false testimony, built up like a case, helped build a case against Paul to lead to his imprisonment and eventually his death. But in this passage, Paul is still looking at the good in those. And even though he said Demas deserted him, look at all the encouragement that he gives. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. He's saying, come before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. And here's his exhortation. Here's his encouragement. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Guys, we need each other. We need each other. And Paul is saying, don't give up on others. Don't give up on yourself. Stay strong. Stay committed to this gospel and knowing that you're gifted. Don't give up on God. He is with us always. But it's so clear that we need each other. To help make this point, I'm going to invite Sam Yaus to come up, my brother and my friend. Y'all will notice we are actually identical twin brothers once he gets up here. And we're going to talk about needing each other. Thanks, Cam.
Damn.
So it was Buddy's idea, and of course I said, thank you, Sam. That was so helpful. That was a shot at Buddy if y'all weren't here last week. Sam came running up to help him, and like Buddy let him come up, and then Sam's hand is like almost on the water bottle, and Buddy like just snatches it away. So then Sam was like, well, yeah. This is awkward.
Yeah, he just had me looking like a doofus for
a doofus, yeah.
10 seconds.
So Sam, like, straightened his papers and then headed back down. It was good. So, Buddy's idea, and of course, I was fully supportive, and I know Sam will do anything for me. But I've invited Sam up here to talk about friendship, to talk about relationship. And I'm so thankful he's willing to. We grew up in different states. He thinks North Carolina knows everything about basketball. North Carolina knows something about basketball because Michael Jordan's from there and clearly the greatest player of all time. Don't even mention the name Kobe. Kobe's number two. So we disagree on things. See, right there. He's a Lakers fan. That is almost unforgivable.
Dan, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. So he keeps me on track, too. See that? But I invited Sam up to talk about why friendship matters. We grew up in different places. We have some things in common. We have some things that are not in common. But we have gotten to know each other. We've been brothers for a long time now. And we're part of some different groups. I just want you to share about our groups and about friendship and why it matters to you, Sam.
Well, man, first thing is, relationships matter to me. My mom modeled that my whole life, how important relationships are. The importance of putting your all in relationships. Man, I grew up with a bunch of family members that weren't blood, and I didn't know they weren't blood until probably my 20s. And it was just part of our makeup. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with y'all, like I was the first service. Growing up, they used to tell you have hard times and problems, and hey, go to God and pray and get in your word. And honestly, that ain't enough for me. Sitting there in my thoughts, trying to pray to God, I'm going to forget all about him, and I'm going to get even more mad or discouraged about whatever else is going on. And so, like Dan said, we need God and people. I need somebody here I can call, and they can talk me off a ledge, or they can say, hey, you being stupid. Stop doing that, along with the support. And that's one thing I found once here at Landmark in our men's group on Thursdays. Quick plug, we have a men's group on Thursdays that meets at the Farmer's Market at 12 o'clock, so any man want to join, please come. But the importance of support and the importance of having a group and a community. You want somebody that's going to hold you accountable, but you also want somebody that's going to give you the support that you need. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, and so there's a reason my kids call Sam Uncle Sam. And he's given me the type of access and opportunity for relationship with him and our brotherhood and in family. There's a reason that I'm Uncle Dan. And that doesn't come, you know, without effort. So talk a little bit about the environments. You mentioned our Thursday lunch group. What about our Wednesday night basketball group?
Oh, yeah. So Wednesday nights we have pray and play. That happens at 8 o'clock after all of our ABC groups and everything is over. And one of the main things we talking about, well, we open up with prayer, and we also open up with me saying, or Dan or Andrew saying, the importance of us coming. So we know our commonality is basketball. We're here for that. However, that's not the mission. The mission is to create a relationship with somebody that can walk this thing we call life with. And it may not be all 30 guys that may be there on a Wednesday, but it may be one person. We've had a lot of praise reports that come from guys that don't even go to this church, might not have any connection to Jesus at all, that look for us for support. And it's not about us, but it's about what God had created by using us on a basketball court.
And so one night, this is gonna be a shocker for some of you, not everyone. One night I was running late, and yeah.
It's normal.
I was running late for basketball, and I came in, and Sam was there just one-on-one with one of our guys, one of our brothers in Christ, who rededicated his life to the Lord, you know, that week, but was hurting and struggling and wasn't really safe that night. And I walk in and they're one-on-one and they invite me over. And then the three of us talk about what really matters most. We love basketball. It's so much fun. What matters is having people and not giving up on people because people have let you down. Not giving up on yourself because you've let yourself and others down, not giving up on God. Anything else you would say just about being willing to invest in others?
Yes, I think it's important to be there during the hard times. Because I think when things are good, and there's no need for any help. But when there are hard times, you need to have that person that's going to be there, that's going to be there to support, encourage, also tell you the truth based off their perspective, but also to encourage. And I think this is a good moment. I told Dan, I had thought about saying this, but I'm going to say it. Man, I want you to know how much you mean to my family. Us coming here, you are literally the epitome of what your title is. I don't think you have to work hard to do it. You're not Uncle Dan just because that's something that you adopted. You're Uncle Dan because that's who you are. I remember a guy told me one time, he said, if you want to know how much somebody loves you, look at how their children treat you and your family. And to Leanne and the girls and my boy Finn, man, I love y'all so much. And the leadership y'all have in that household, man, it's unmatched. And man, this part is what's important. Knowing that you are enough, knowing that what you do matters, and that, man, my experience here wouldn't be anything without who you are. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell you my problem.
He did. He told me he was going to make me cry, so I was actually, believe it or not, I was trying to be strong and not do that. I came back last Sunday after a week with my family. There were 19 of us. Incredible trip down to Florida, and I was just a little bit off, not much. I didn't notice it, but Sam just caught me in the parking lot. He said, "You good?" And I know what he means by that. He's not saying, like, did you have just fun on your trip, you know, like, he's asking, as a minister here at Landmark, as a dad, as a husband, like, am I okay? And in that moment, I really believed I was just tired from the trip, but I was able to reflect, and this is what a brother, what a friend does. I realized that I was a little bit sad that after having that great week of seeing my girls with their cousins and my parents and being close, I have two brothers I love so much, and their wives are incredible, and my niece and nephews. We had such an awesome trip. And then I was just a little bit sad because we just don't live right in the same town. So it was a little bittersweet. And so Sam, I told him later, I thanked him for just checking and just asking. It's not that hard to just check and ask, guys. It's not, but it can mean everything.
Yeah.
And it helped me last week.
And Dan, just like most of us, especially men, you ask that question, hey, man, is everything all right? Everything good? You know, the first thing somebody's going to say, oh, I'm good. Everything is fine. I know that's me. But the reality is everything ain't good. And that's fine. And like I told Dan, don't lie to me, man. Just tell me you don't want to talk about it, and then I'll leave it alone. Yeah. But telling me you ain't good and I'm looking at you not be good, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's part of that community.
I appreciate it. Sam's going to pray for us in just a moment. We're going to do three things, okay? We're going to go to the table. But you can go to the table first, or you can pause on the table, and you can go to someone. So we're going to go to the table. We're going to go to each other. And if you need to respond, we're going to have at least one baptism, which is just incredible and so excited about that. We're going to have a baptism. If you need to surrender your life today, over the next 15 minutes of praise and worship, we're going to go to the table. We're going to go to each other. If there's somebody you just need to tell them you love them, that you appreciate them. If there's somebody you just need to pray with for a moment and say you're sorry, take time during this worship to do that. And if you need to respond, it's always a great time to surrender your life to Jesus. We'll celebrate with you. If you need prayer, this front row is always available. We'll pray with you. But Sam's going to pray over the table as we break bread, drink from the cup together. Yeah.
Let us pray. God, thank you for this day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But more importantly, God, this moment right here is the purpose of our very existence. It's because you thought enough of us to send your son to die for the things we continuously do every day. And no, we're not going to be perfect, God, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy as we strive to be a little bit better than we were yesterday. And Lord, there's a lot of mountains and a lot of things that everybody has to go through on a daily basis. We don't want you to get rid of those mountains. We don't want you to move them. We just want you to continue to give us the strength to climb them so that as we climb them, we know that it was you that was pulling us up as we become closer to you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you for always sending people to support and be a community there in your place sometimes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.